بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق. وقال تعالى: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بلغوا عني ولو آية. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. My dear respected elders and friends, we are very fortunate Allah Ta'ala has given us the golden opportunity to visit a gathering where a person can increase and improve oneself. As we noticed that most of the talks that were given yesterday was with regards to attaining this beautiful quality of taqwa. In every command of Allah Ta'ala in the Qur'an Kareem, Allah Ta'ala generally has kept what we call the maqsad or the goal of each and every single hukam as taqwa. For example, if a person fasts in the month of Ramadan, then what is to be attained in here? What is to be attained is taqwa. Likewise in salat, it is taqwa. Likewise at the time of Qurbani, it is taqwa. And every single other hukam, whether it is hajj, all everything, the goal of this is for a person to find taqwa. And taqwa is actually when a person reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this beautiful ayat al-karima, prior to discussing the ayat, our dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, nawwarallahu malqarahu, gives a beautiful parable wherein Hazrat actually gives a description of what is a Shaykh, what is a murid, and actually what is taqwa. So to understand this, when we see a person takes a bow out from his quiver, and then a person places this bow in what takes an arrow out of the quiver, and then he places it into the bow. When a person stretches the string after placing the arrow into the bow, then proportionate to the strength in which he pulls that bow back, and then he releases, that is how high actually that arrow will gain flight into the sky. Likewise, our Dada Shaykh so beautifully explains from the Ash'ar of Hazrat Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Alayh that actually when a person sits in the company of the Mashaykh, the Shaykh actually serves as what we call as the service of what the bow is. And the person is actually the arrow. And that strength in that bow, or what we call that strength that that person pulls that bow with, and that string, that is what we can say that the string is likened to the taqwa. And the fuel that that person pulls it with, that is what we call the nur of the mashayikh. Now one thing we can understand, our Dada Shaykh tells us so beautifully, that no matter how beautiful a bow is, no matter how beautiful the arrow is, the real reality behind us, respected elders and friends, is the strength behind that arrow that we pull it with. Now we've been hearing this all the time. We've been hearing that we need to attain taqwa, that we understand that we would also be amongst those people that don't want to be what we call, that we want to be settled on the grounds, but we want to be settled on the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. As Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, you don't want to be a farshi, but now you want to become an arshi, so take the company of the mashayikh. Just to go a little bit back for us to understand this very quickly, is we see so beautifully that the first ayat of Quran that is discussed by Allah Ta'ala is the words what we say of Iqra. Now Iqra actually means read, and this happened at the beautiful time and occasion when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to climb up for many days on end in the cave of Hira, and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many, many days on end. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a period up to 40 days, he would take what we call his provisions and he would settle in there and sit in seclusion and worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, gaining the nisbat of Allah ta'ala, the love of Allah ta'ala, the closeness of Allah ta'ala. And on one occasion, which we all learned when we were little children, when we went to Maktab, that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam appeared before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what had happened at this point is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by Jibreel Amin. And then Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wa salam told him, Iqra, read. And we understand that at that point Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't able to read. So he said, Ma ana biqari'in, I cannot read. So very quickly what had transpired from here is that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam had held Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he hugged him. And then we know at the second occasion again he told him, he said, Iqra, he told him, read. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam again told him, he said, Ma ana biqarin, I don't know how to read. And this happened for the beautiful third occasion. Now the real thing is, respected friends, when many modern people, many people see the words iqra. Now just a great lesson from here we learn, is that when we learn deen, we need to learn deen from reliable sources. If we just open the Qur'an al-Kareem and we just try and read and see what it means, and then we take our own meaning, unfortunately we will go off the track. And more so, that we sit with the lovers of Allah Ta'ala, with those people who have got Allah Ta'ala's love. But this is how we're going to discuss now. Then, what had transpired after this year, so many people see the word Iqra first means read. So many people think that what is the primary purpose of this? It means actually that a person should educate his children, a person should send his children to school, a person should now endeavor. And many people we see in today's times, for private education, a person will book his child's place 5 or 6 years before. A person gets a curriculum of university studies when the child is already in primary school. Many people think that the key, what we call to the success of man, is educating a person. And where we found this, in when we say read, iqra, that you must read. So a person must teach a person what we call to become educated. But what had actually happened here? We see the beautiful shan and nuzul, that what had happened at the time of the revelation here is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was embraced by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and a transferal or the nur of Allah Ta'ala had transferred into his heart. And so beautifully this had happened. Then we know very commonly, what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do after that occasion? He ran home to his wife, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he told her, he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. So many people say he had fear. And so beautifully our friend Mawlana Musa Saab explained yesterday, the word taqwa doesn't mean fear. Likewise, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't go back with the word what we call fear. He actually went home with an electrical shock. And the transferal of nur that had taken place from heart to heart. This is what had happened. And immediately what had happened is that he needed to be covered. We know very carefully, we know in life, if we understand this, as we are so-called people of logic in today's time, if a person gets a shock, a person needs to hold on to something that is earth to the ground. Immediately a person will find comfort. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wife that cover me, so that some comfort could come to his body. And thus we see after that, who did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to? He met his wife, he met Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And here Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we see Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Saab Nawarallahu Marqadahu had written that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 20, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at the age of 18 Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 20 Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Allah Ta'ala had showed him a dream, and when he saw in this dream, the dream was narrated, there's not a lot of time to go into it, but he knew that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. Immediately he accepted the da'wat. Immediately he accepted when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him. And this is how we see Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, and the entire 124,000 sahaba actually became sahaba. They became sahaba by what we call by virtue of the sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what gave them that sohbat is that a portion of the nur of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam transferred into the hearts. And we see Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, all these sahaba proportionate to the effort and the time that they gave. This is what they actually benefited. And they also became beacons and lanterns of hidayat until the day of Qiyamah. If a person wants to look at it ordinarily, if a person goes to Princeton, a person goes to Harvard, a person goes to Oxford, you can also learn Islamic knowledge. In fact, you can probably learn in a more proficient way, but more eloquent English as well. But a person in those environments, you'll see that probably the teacher is sitting on the table and he's got a cigar in one hand and the kitab is na'uzubillah on the same level of his backside. And then also there is girls and boys mixed. So one is that a person will learn knowledge, but a person's knowledge will be crooked. So likewise we see that knowledge has to be compiled, or it has to be compressed together with the nur of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very commonly we have heard last year or 2 years ago, there was one person who had actually claimed what we call, he had claimed he had opened a gay masjid in Cape Town, and from here this person also took the dalail from Quran Kareem. But what we have to understand from here, and he also had proper proofs, and he also had what we call a sunnah, or he had also had a so-called chain of where he learned deen from. But we understand from here that he had learned deen, but unfortunately his deen had taken him very far away from the path. So that deen has to be what we call connected, or it has to be studied under the supervision of a person who has got a chain that runs from Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam on our beautiful website of khanka.org. A person will see, if you click one of the buttons, it's written the spiritual shajara. And the shajara means the what we call the tree. And that tree actually takes us, we see from our Shaykh, it takes us right to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see this so beautifully that every person gains what he had gained in that sanad by what we call the demands of mulazamat. If a person still finds this a little bit difficult to understand, we see that there are generally two people that we have always read the ahadith kitabs. One is Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, and one is Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. And we see that if a person who studies hadith will learn from his ustads, that as far as the knowledge of both of these muhaddiths, their knowledge was obviously almost equal. But because Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh had spent more time in the sohbat of his Shaykh, his kitab actually has got what we call more preference, or the ummah has actually placed it before. Not because of book knowledge, but because of the time that he spent in the company of his ustad. Some years ago, respected friends, for us to understand a little more clearer, there was a what we call an experiment of advertising that was done. And there were two things that were placed before a group of people. There was one glass of, one bottle of a can of cold drink, and the other one normal Coke, and the other one was Pepsi. So in here what had happened is they blindfolded everybody. Everybody was blindfolded. So they told everybody to drink. Everybody took a sip of the cold drink, everybody took a sip of the Pepsi. What had happened afterwards, they asked that which one is better. Everybody made ishara, or everybody what we call made a note that they preferred the Pepsi. It tasted better. They took the blindfold ops. And then what happened is they conducted the same experiment. After this was done, respected friends, everybody went for the Coke. So what we understand from here is the effect, what we call, that happens to a person's heart. When a person sits in a particular environment, a person's heart becomes affected. And if a person sits in a wrong environment, so too will his heart becomes affected. There is a beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam which says that don't take the Qur'an-i Kareem to Ardul Adu. Don't take the Qur'an-i Kareem, what we call, to the land of the oppressors, because they will, what we say, they will harm the Qur'an-i Kareem. So we see more clearer from here, we can understand what happens if we have parents, we take a little child and we place him in a wrong environment. This is the physical Qur'an-i Kareem. What happens if a person places a heart in a wrong environment? So beautifully said, Sohbat ki asar lazim aata hai. That the effect of sohbat, this is lazim. If a person sits in a particular environment, immediately this person will get affected. Immediately this person will drown. But if a person is placed in a good environment, what will happen? More so on the point what we're discussing, respected friends, that many people wonder in today's time that where did this come from? Where did this Piri Murid come from? Where does this come from? If we see the first amal when a child is born, and this the whole ummah testifies. When a person's child is born, what's the first thing a person does? A person has to call the adhan. And thereafter, what does a person have to do? Is to make tahniq. And tahniq is, what is it? A person takes a piece of kajur, and that kajur now is what we call taste, it is sucked or it is chewed by a pious person. And then it's placed in the child's mouth. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before learning anything, the first lesson that the child receives, respected friends, is adhan. Immediately after adhan, the first thing that happens is what we call the barakat of a pious person. And when we say the barakat of a pious person, is those persons who have sat in the company of those persons, who have sat in the company of those persons, who have sat in the company, and likewise the chain just goes right up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we see, respected elders and friends, another hadith that we see so beautifully, that is explained by our Dada Shaykh, إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٌ فَتَعَرَّدُوا لَهُ. That, my dear friends, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in a most loving way, that verily in the easterly and the westerly winds, we see that the manifestation of Allah Ta'ala's closeness, it blows within the air. فَتَعَرَّدُوا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, go look for it, my dear friends. Go find it. If this manifestation hits your heart, humul julasa ul jalisahum. And where will you find it? This Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that you will find us in the gatherings of the pious, respected friends, in the gatherings of the friends of Allah Ta'ala. Wala yashqa ba'dahu abada. And nobody will suffer any grief. Nobody will suffer any difficulty afterwards. Everybody, we understand in today's time, that there is an onslaught. Many people are talking about, so many people, youngsters are becoming murtad. Families are worried. They're sending their children, what we call, to educational environments, which is a great source of causing this corruption, respected friends. People are just sending their children out and they're worried. From good homes, people are turning murtad. Openly, people are declaring what we call that we are not Muslims anymore. He is a beautiful mazmoon. Our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Saab, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, he gives such a beautiful example in where he tells us that if a person, what we call, tastes the sweetness of Iman, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْحَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي الْقَلْبِ لَمْ يَخْرُجْهُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا, that if a person really tastes the sweetness of Iman, that this Iman will never ever come out of his heart. So how we understand this, our Dada Shaykh again gives a very beautiful example that the heart of man, now what happens after we sit in the company of the Mashaykh? The heart we can understand is of two kinds. When the heart first initially comes into what we call the sohbat of the Mashaykh, then the heart is likened to what we call a person who sells logs. If a person who sells 3 logs, this person needs a very weighty scale. This person needs a very, very heavy scale. Just to make that scale move a little bit, he needs to put a lot of kilograms on there. And then on the other hand, after a person sits in the company of the Mashaykh, what happens to his beautiful heart, which was not so beautiful, which was like a log? And who got any value for a log? A log is something that people chuck on the side, people leave it outside, it doesn't need to be housed, nobody worries about it, nobody has got any value. Now his heart has to be placed, becomes like that, that needs to be placed on what we call the scale of a jeweler. And a jeweler's heart, what happens to that, is when a jeweler places something on his scale, even if he just blows, small hook, person just blows on it, and we see that it turns. We see that the numbers start trickling. Nowadays we get a digital scale and it starts moving. Now just to understand, my respected elders and friends, when a person, before sitting in a company of the Mashaykh, a person commits a sin, a person commits a guna, nothing ever happens. At one time in one of our Tablighi Mashuras, the SA Mashuras, it was discussed as part of the Targheeb, that how come today, the brother asked the question, that how come today that we sit in so many talks of deen, but the effort is so little. We come in day in and day out, we perform salat, nothing happens. How many people go for Umrah? Very easy it is for that person to stand for 5 times salah right behind the imam, to put a big turban on, put a big jabba on, to read so many tasbih, to read so much of Quran Kareem, but that person he stops when he is there. Immediately when he comes home, how come this person after 2 weeks he fell wayside? How many of our satis, they go for a full 40 days in Jamaat, a full 4 months pedal, and immediately you meet the brother after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and the brother tells you, ask him, how are you, bhai? How is your fikr? I'm gone flat. I don't know what happened. How many people go for Hajj, Umrah? How much of wealth they spend? The brother will tell you, unfortunately, everything is gone from me. I need to go back. One brother, a friend of mine, last year also, he went what we call for Umrah, and immediately he came back from Durban. And he went to Durban for a holiday in its peak period. He said, I flushed my entire Umrah down the drain. So what we understand, respected friends, there's not much time to go into detail, but just to understand this little point, inshallah it will help myself, help us all, that a person learns what we call in the company of the Mashaykh, and why we need it so much, is to what we call become a master in the field of contamination. If, for example, a person has got a beautiful burden of milk, full milk, and a person has got the entire drum. But imagine now if all of us were thirsty and we went outside and somebody said also this came from Hazrat's house. And mashallah, everybody will say that Hazrat is making ikram. Everybody will rush outside. Nobody will even want to sit in the bayan also. But now somebody tells you, bhai, that there's just a few droplets of urine. But don't worry, it's very little bit. Don't worry, who will want to drink from there? So many people we see, so many women working in corporate. This woman is what we call tahajjud guzar. This woman read 5 times daily namaz. And a person tells you, what's wrong? A person is doing so much of good. Now in the company of the Mashaykh, what happens is, respected friends, is that the real sifat of Tawbah comes out in our hearts. That we are able to distinguish or separate sin from good. And thus all the time we are impurifying our hearts, respected elders and friends. The sin of jealousy, the sin of pride, the sin of showing off, the sin of ghibat. And many times we are not aware of these sins, respected friends. But like we discussed in the start, that when we sit in the company of the Mashaykh, then the nur that is within their hearts, this nur will rub off into our hearts. And that actually becomes a means where a person starts now to become conscious. A person starts to think of the wrongs and the sins that I have done. Today many people are doing many good. And thus we see, respected friends, if you tell a person, for example, to go for Hajj, to go for Umrah, no problem, it's very easy. But tell a person to come back, and that one sin that you stuck in and you continuously inclined in, tell that person to give up that sin. This is very difficult. Tell a person just to make what we call hifazat of his eyes, so very difficult. Tell a person to give up ghibat, this is very difficult. Tell a person you're sitting in the gatherings of non-mahrams, your families are mixed, now to separate, it is very difficult. But respected elders and friends, that is the biggest problem, that everything we look at is very difficult, but we haven't learned what we call to find ishq, to find the love of Allah Ta'ala. And when we find this love of Allah Ta'ala, we will be swimming, respected friends, in an ocean with no shore. Just like how a person on a very hot day and his lips are dry and this person is very thirsty. Now a person wants to satiate himself. Now if a person, somebody brings him a very cold milkshake. But in that milkshake, if there's no sugar, what will happen? So respected friends, the sheikh, when we come in their company, they throw sugar into our hearts. And how it happens from this example of the scale, and then we'll finish off, is that when we just commit a small sin, then our hearts now will become like what we call that jewelry seller. That a little bit sin, and now it will start trickling in your heart. Not like before, we made big, big amal, mashallah. But little bit of sins, we didn't worry about it. We sat, mashallah, in our social gatherings. We made ghibat about ulama. We looked down upon people. We looked down on the knowledge of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and etc., etc. Then unfortunately what happens is we don't realize in the name of good, unfortunately we are doing so much of wrong. And we just need to learn a little bit to get that inner strength to give up the wrong. And now we will see how easy it actually becomes, how enjoyable it becomes. And when that person does a sin, now you'll find that that nur that settles in its heart, now that nur is gone. Now a person immediately, he says, let me leave my gathering, I made a mistake. He goes, he makes fresh wudu, he comes into the masjid, and immediately now what happens is he makes tawbah. But our sheikh explained so beautifully to us that a person should remember that only when another chance comes to give to be tested with that sin, and now you give up that sin, that nur will return back into your heart. And sometimes if we did a very big sin, remember it's a result of maybe another sin that you did before. There's that famous story of Abdullah Andalusi, rahmatullah alayh, but we can't actually go into to the detail of that story. But he was a very great sheikh, and he passed the Kanisa church, and he looked down upon those people. What had happened afterwards is Allah Ta'ala, when they passed a farm, he looked at the daughter of a Jew, and his eyes caught her. And what mashallah muridin he had, 500,000 people approximately, Sheikh Shibli rahmatullah alayh, so many other big people. But unfortunately they were on the way to Hajj, the sheikh got caught up in this. Now we have to really ask ourselves, a sin like looking down on somebody, maybe most of us never even understood that there's a sin that existed like that. Possibly we didn't know we're doing it. And this is why, respected friends, we come and sit in these gatherings, let us open our hearts, correct our niyats. Remember, we come in to sit in the sohbat of the pious, and inshallah, proportionate to the niyat we will take. When a man drives a Formula One car, he doesn't drive the car on 2,000 revs. Before he takes off, he redlined, right till 8,000 revs. Our niyat has to be like that. Full swing we take it. That's how Dada Sheikh told us, even we give a bayan, we talking to somebody, take the niyat right to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Not for somebody to think I'm pious. Neither are we here for that. Neither are we here to think of somebody else in that incorrect ways. May Allah Ta'ala open all our hearts and grant us reality.